building from a safety standpoint and constantly work and keep up communication on how to improve safety and address the neighborhood concerns that we're presented with. Billy gives a daily update, or monthly update, sorry, at our Old Town Chinatown Livability Committee. And the one theme that he constantly stresses is that he gets people to come into the day center that aren't there to just hang out per se, but there to move forward, there to be involved in the services and improve their lives. And I think it's that tone that they set there that really carries over and spreads out beyond the community. And from my standpoint in public safety and community outreach, I just cannot say enough how thoroughly impressed I am with what goes on there, and I'm looking forward to working on more projects and continuing to improve that area and partnering with Clark Commons in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just ask a question. Mike, could you describe a little bit about your work with Office of Neighborhood Involvement and coordinating with the Police Bureau and how the police interact with the folks in Bud Clark Commons?
Certainly. My job centers around three primary areas, community organizing, training and education, and problem solving. When it comes to the Portland Police Bureau, we work hand-in-hand with our neighborhood response team. So that's the primary group. They work on systemic ongoing issues as we do. So with this particular unit, we set up an ongoing monthly check-in with them. In between that monthly check-in, we have constant phone calls, emails, dealing with everything from community complaints to individual residents, daily incidents that take place in the day center, connecting the staff with the resources they need, addressing it from a public safety and with the police, and anything else that comes in between.
Is it a collaborative partnership with the police? Have we been helping with community policing?
Yes, I would say that collaborative is an understatement.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. It's now my honor to, on behalf of the Housing Commissioner and the entire City Council, to invite the Honorable Mayor Bud Clark to please come forward, if you would. It's a great honor to have you back here, and we would love to hear just a few final words or observations of this effort.
I've been away from here for 19 years, you know, and when I was signing letters to kids that were born, telling their parents to take good care of them and let them go to school and everything else, they're all becoming 21 very shortly. They've been just stepping up, so it's been a long time, but you as a council and Nick Fish and the mayor and all of you, Amanda and Dan, have been, and Randy too, we could have put him in, have been very generous. And I didn't know what to say when Nick Fish came and said they're going to name the Commons the Bud Clark. And I still don't know how to do it, but it certainly brings a certain amount of emotion to me when I hear the good stories, the fact that it's working, you know. I mean, this is such an impossible task, it seems to me, to solve this great problem of homelessness. But obviously, it's one step at a time and working towards a very long-term goal, I think. When I was a kid growing up in Portland, you never saw anybody sleeping in the streets. First time I saw somebody sleeping in the street was Mexico. And it just offends me that every city I go to around the country now, you see homelessness every place. And when we started the plan, they said, well, this is going to create a mecca, and just all the homeless will come to Portland. Well, we know that's not true. I mean, we know that we're trying to take care of ours, and there's a lot of places that aren't. So thank you very much, City Council, Mayor, and all for and Nick and everybody here for working so hard. You all look good, you know. I don't get down here very often. So
you look good, too.
Yeah, you do. You look
Yeah! Thanks, Mayor. That was great. Mayor, before we go to comments, could I just acknowledge a few people in the audience, please? Harriet Cormack is here. Harry, would you raise your hand? Harriet's the incoming chair, the new chair of Home Forward.
Oh,
thank
great.
You for joining us.
Congratulations. Thank
I'd
you.
Like to just acknowledge the city's ending homelessness team. If you could raise your hand, Sally Erickson, Ryan Diebert, and Jennifer Chang. This is the best team in the country, and they are at the forefront of innovative strategies for ending homelessness. Do we have anyone here from Holst Architects?
All right.
I'd like to acknowledge our friend from Holst Architects. They've won a number of awards, including the People's Choice Award, for this particular development. And we're extremely proud that they had developed a building that was highly functional,
at the highest level of sustainability standards, and that was also beautiful and was an amenity to the community. And we're proud of their work. Scott Andrews is here, chair of the PDC Commission, and we could not have done this without the strong support at every step of the way of PDC. I don't see anyone here from the Portland Business Alliance, but I want to just acknowledge that the Portland Business Alliance, along with other neighborhood business groups downtown, made this a priority project and were strong supporters every step of the way. And I want to thank Mike Reese and his team. We have a strong – Mike is actually on the – I believe he's on the board of TPI, or was. He is currently. But we have great cooperation with law enforcement. So thanks to everyone who is here, and I have a few more remarks when we just adopt the report here.
Great. Is there anyone else that has signed up to testify?
It's a presentation. We didn't set out a sign.
Anyone else wish to testify? All right, then I move acceptance of the presentation.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Fritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for taking the time to celebrate this, and thank you, Mayor Clark, and everybody who's here today. Thank you for the powerful testimony with telling us why this matters. And it does matter, and it has made a difference, and it is making a difference. It's been my honor to be on the council to dedicate $2.2 million this year in one-time and ongoing funding. And this was well planned. It did take a long time to get it done. But in the process, we came to recognizing that we need ongoing funding for operations, and we did that. And in the process, we created many partnerships and many new understandings of some of the challenges. And so it's a spectacular success. And it's wonderful to see it celebrated here in council. And we need to tell others more about, we need to share the stories. We need to continue this great work. And it's not going to stop. It's not, we can't solve homelessness here in Portland. But for each individual that is now housed, that has made a huge difference, it solves homelessness for that person, and that's what we're continuing to work towards. So thank you all. Aye.
Fish.
Well, I want to thank everyone who took time this morning to come and make the presentation, and particularly the veteran, the gentleman who lives at Doreen's place, who I cannot remember more powerful testimony in my 3 years on the council. And sometimes you need a person who directly benefits from services to actually put the human face on the what and the why that we do. And so, John, thank you for joining us. I want to thank all of our project partners for bringing this bold vision to life. I mentioned Holst Architecture earlier. It's just really phenomenal that they were able to not only put three different and distinct programs under one roof, but they were able to come up with a building that is functional, sustainable, and beautiful. And they deserve every award they've received for this building. And we hope it's a model for other cities across the country, and we hope Holst gets that work. I want to thank former Mayor Bud Clark for honoring us with his presence today and for literally laying the foundation over 25 years ago for all of the work that we do. And I said at the opening that Bud actually literally laid the foundation for Bud Clark Commons. And I don't think we would have the success we've had over the past 25 years if Bud had not put homelessness at the center of the city's consciousness and agenda and issued his, at that point, extremely bold and visionary 12-point plan on the homelessness. I also want to acknowledge the great work of former commissioners Gretchen Cafori and Eric Stinn, whose work we continue to build on today, and particularly Commissioner Stinn. We would not have a Bud Clark Commons had he not been an early and vocal champion. I want to thank the Portland taxpayers today for supporting our work through the 30% set-aside. This council recently reaffirmed our commitment to that vital funding tool. We know in time it's going to diminish as a significant tool. We're hitting what's called the TIF cliff. But the public agreed to invest almost $30 million in this project, and we can be proud of that investment. Looking ahead, we know we continue to face great challenges. Congress is cutting vital housing programs as we speak, and the impact will be that we'll have fewer dollars to build and preserve affordable homes. The city, the state, and the county are facing painful budget decisions, and there are no good options on the table. And for all the progress we make, we also have to humbly acknowledge that Portland alone does not control the root causes of homelessness. Unemployment, a broken mental health system, rampant foreclosures, these are national problems which ultimately are going to require national leadership and solutions if we're going to be successful. So today I want to issue a call. Now more than ever, we must continue our local commitment to winning this fight. Everyone in this room has a responsibility, I believe, to continue Bud Clark's legacy of helping our neighbors in need. And as you've heard, each of us has a role we can play, from serving food, from visiting, from volunteering, to advocating. Whatever you can do, we all have a role. I visit Bud Clark Commons regularly. I think I drive some of Doreen's staff crazy. Recently, my son and I had the honor of serving dinner to shelter residents. He is 8 years old. It was a life-changing experience for Chapin. And we both saw the genuine transformation that is occurring in people's lives. And ultimately, that is why I remain hopeful. In this fight, we judge our success one person and one family at a time. And every time we help someone with a hand up, we honor the promise of Bud Clark Commons. I want to thank Mayor Adams for his stalwart support. And he has had to make tough budget decisions over the past 3 years. And in prioritizing funding for Bud Clark Commons, he put his values into action. And I want to thank my council colleagues. Every time we have knocked on their door, they have stepped up and helped us. We will someday win this fight. Not today and not tomorrow, but we have to have the belief that we will win this fight. This is a fight worth winning. It's a fight we must win. And I want to thank everyone in our community who every day plays their role. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, this is a fantastic six-month report, very impressive and very poignant. I also want to, you know, sort of acknowledge not only Mayor Clark, but I want to echo Commissioner Fish's. I mean, first I want to start with Commissioner Fish himself, I think, has now joined the Housing Hall of Fame members of the City Council Pantheon. I do think Mayor Adams belongs there, too, but certainly Gretchen Cafori and Eric Sten. Have played key roles. I served with Eric at one point on a committee, a joint PDC, City Council, Citizen Committee to sort of figure out the future of River District expenditures. And I know Eric was very, you know, from the get-go, very supportive and laid the groundwork, I think, for what's now the Bud Clark Commons. And so I just want to acknowledge all those people who have really made this work. And it was sounds like it's doing a great job. And thank you all.
Leonard?
Well, it just so happens that I was hired by the city 34 years ago today. And in that, so I have a unique perspective on many of these issues and many of the personalities involved. So when I saw Bud today, for instance, I, of course, think back to when he was first elected mayor. I was able to, I have a picture of you, Bud, and me. When you were working out of the church up here in the transition period between when you were elected and when you took office. And it's a picture I cherish. I remember after you took office, and of course I was the president of the firefighters, we oftentimes would either meet in your office. A couple times we had lunch. I don't remember, know if you remember so much, but I was a single dad, and I'd have my three kids trailing along often, and even into adulthood, they speak fondly of being little kids, and you were just always so gracious with them, and appreciate that more as time goes on. But to this debate, when Bud said people. When he issued his 12-point plan to end homelessness, said, you will do nothing but attract homeless people from all over the country here. Please don't underestimate what he said. It was a huge, loud, almost hysterical reaction to what Bud initiated. And the point that I mean to make by saying that is it is in those moments that one's leadership is tested. How strong do you feel about the things you're fighting for? and you demonstrated at a time when I was here and I was watching very, very closely strength and leadership that not all have. And I was really happy in Nick's and Dan's remarks, their acknowledgement of Gretchen Kifori and Eric Stent, because, you know, Gretchen ended up being the commissioner in charge of fire. So I not only had known Gretchen for years, got to work with her intimately. So she too would needs to be acknowledged for picking up the mantle that Bud handed her in the assignments he gave her to make sure that the homeless folks in our community were treated as John said, dignified people. And then she had a young guy working on her staff who was compelled and motivated by not only working under Mayor Clark, but for his boss, Gretchen Kifori. And then he saw an opportunity himself to run for the council. And, of course, Eric Sten was, if not the youngest person ever elected to the council, certainly one of the youngest people elected to the council. Three of us here worked closely, as Dan alluded to, with Eric. And this cannot be underestimated. Again, the barriers he confronted to have this project done. Doreen is absolutely right. It would not have been done without the good fortune that the citizens of Portland had of having Nick Fish replace Eric, but it also wouldn't have been done without Eric Stent. I sat here as he fought what appeared to be insurmountable community resistance and funding challenges, and it is not to be underestimated what he had to go through to get to the place it was, so that when Nick got here, he could hand it off to Nick. And then Nick was faced with diminished resources, permitting challenges, architectural challenges, all of which he brought his unique talents to get the building built. So it's been really enjoyable for me to sit here and help where I can, but mostly to be supportive of all of those folks, especially the four that I've just named, throughout this long process. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate it. And thank you. Aye.
Adams?
Well, I've not been in the building as long as everybody, or in the community as long as everyone associated with this, but I've been here for some time, and I've been able to see the great work, the initiative, as everyone has mentioned, of Mayor Clark, and the great work of staffer and Commissioner Eric Sten and Commissioner Gretchen Kifori and others. And I just have to say that the reason that I've been willing, as my term as mayor, to make the kinds of investments and cut other parts of the city's budget to make additional investments in homeless services, human services, is because of the great leadership in bringing together all of the parties and standing on the shoulders and doing even more and better and learning and taking in all the lessons that needed to be learned and taken in to constantly improve our collective efforts. And I really have felt confident in making those kinds of choices because of the leadership of Nick Fish. And so I want to thank you personally for that. This is an issue that I feel very deeply, care very much about. And I also want to thank the folks at Home Forward, Transition Projects, everyone involved. The staff team that leads and supports this program that's housed in a great building. I was very nervous because it's so close to the train station. I kind of have a thing for. I was really worried that it would mess up the look of that part of town, and it only has added to it. So I want to associate myself with my colleagues' comments and say how very grateful we are for all of your work. Aye. Yeah, you can clap. I'll let you. All right. That gets us to item number 75. Can you please read the title for resolution, item number 75?
Appoint Julie Young to the Allocation Committee for the Portland Children's Levy for a term to expire January 25th, 2014.
Me.
I'm sorry, Commissioner Dan Saltzman. Go ahead.
Busy texting.
Yes, it's a busy day.
Well, as we've just heard about how impressive the Bud Clark Commons is in providing hope and opportunity for homeless men and women, and the compassion that Portland taxpayers have shown for this, we also have the Portland Children's Levy, which, as you all know, voters have also shown extreme compassion in supporting young people, children from zero through high school age, in leading successful lives. And thanks to Portland voters, first in 2002 when they initially passed the children's levy, and then when they overwhelmingly renewed it in 2008, we are investing about $10 to $12 million a year in cost-effective, proven programs, primarily nonprofit organizations, that are doing exactly what needs to be done for over 17,000 children and families in the city, and that is investing in early childhood education programs so that young people will arrive at kindergarten ready to learn, investing in after-school and mentoring programs so that young people will have something to do after school, will be more likely to engage and complete school, and also through mentoring programs to have positive role models, which too many of our young people lack. We invest in proven programs to prevent and intervene in child abuse, and we operate under the thesis that no child is ever going to be successful or learn when the home environment is filled with abuse or domestic violence. And finally, in 2008, the voters added a new investment category for us, and that is to invest in programs that will help children in foster care succeed. Voters recognized, as many of us have, the dismal prospects that children in foster care face and the daunting challenges. Only 2% of children in foster care in Oregon get four-year degrees, for instance. So, voters have shown compassion and care for young people, and we've done that through the Children's Levy. The decisions made by the Children's Levy are where to invest, which programs, because as you can imagine, we get many more requests than we have money available, but we do invest in only proven programs. We don't invest in pilot programs or demonstration projects, but those decisions are made by a 5-member allocation committee, which meets publicly, often most times in this chamber, to make funding decisions for the Portland Children's Levy. The allocation committee is made up of a representative from the Multnomah County Commission, another familiar name, Commissioner Deborah Cafori, represents the county. I serve on the allocation committee. I represent the city of Portland. We have a member appointed by the Portland Business Alliance, and that's Ron Belts. And we have two citizen members, one nominated by the county, and that's Adrienne Livingston, the executive director of the Black United Fund, and then one nominated by the city. Alyssa Kinney Geyer has most recently served as the Portland Citizen member of the Allocation Committee. But as we all know, she left the committee because she has been appointed to the state legislature to fill the seat that Ben Cannon represented. So it is my pleasure today to introduce and the nominee to fill the city of Portland's citizen position on the Portland Children's Levy Allocation Committee, longtime youth advocate and community volunteer, Julie S. Young. Julie holds a master's in social work, and her professional career has been devoted to working with diverse populations and vulnerable families. She has a keen insight into child welfare, foster care, and juvenile justice systems through her work as a court-appointed special advocate and a community health mental health practitioner. Julie also has a longtime history of civic involvement from her work as a children's activist and work with nonprofit boards, including the Children's Trust Fund of Oregon, the Oregon Community Foundation, Social Venture Partners, and the City Club. And I'll tell you, we had a lot of very qualified people who applied for this position. I was overwhelmed by the qualified people that applied. And so to say that Julie rose to the top is quite an honor and a recognition of her role. And so I'd like to, we look forward to working with Julie. If you approve her today, she will be seated tomorrow at our allocation committee meeting. And I'd like to just ask Julie if she has any words she'd like to say.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you again, Commissioner Saltzman, for your thoughtful introduction, and especially for giving me the opportunity to serve as the city's representative on the Children's Allocation Committee. It's a privilege. It's one I take very seriously. Each of us has a story about our path, and I want to share a little bit about mine. I grew up on a struggling little farm in central North Dakota, where my Danish and German grandparents had settled, and both of my parents were raised and lived their entire lives. I don't recall ever worrying about money, but my parents must have. We milked about 15 cows twice a day, whether it was 20 below or 95 and humid in our old crumbling barn. My mother sewed our clothes, baked bread in our cast iron range, and we all pumped water from the well and carried it to the house in big tin buckets. When our chores were done, my three sisters and I read anything we could get our hands on, roamed the prairie in the summer, built snow forts in the winter, and played Monopoly nonstop. In 1965, our county, Sheridan, was listed among 182 counties in the United States to be eligible for federal aid under President Johnson's brand new anti-poverty program. All but 10 of the 182 counties were in the southern or border states. Three were in North Dakota, including ours, where the per capita annual income was $739. I don't remember knowing I was poor, for although we didn't have indoor plumbing or a telephone or a television, which my parents got after I went to college, what we did have was a thriving church community, 4-H, a nurturing extended family, informal networks of people looking after one another, high expectations from teachers, principals, even the bus drivers. Yes, it takes a circle of caring adults, competent adults, to model for the next generation. My parents and other adults pulled together even when resources were scarce to give the children in our farm community opportunities. For you see, even though I grew up poor, I did not grow up disadvantaged. Frankly, I was privileged, for I had everything we now know children need to succeed and thrive. I had a healthy start with appropriate attachment to loving adults. I had the security of food and shelter. I had consistency in daily living. I had educational opportunity, and so on. My early childhood years were golden, and I grew up with hope, with confidence, with trust in the world. I cannot ignore saying that I was, that I am, from the dominant culture. I grew up some years before Title IX allowed me to play basketball or run track. But otherwise, I was never exposed to discrimination of any kind, even when I went to college at North Dakota State University in Fargo. I fit in. That's privilege. That's access. I've now lived in Portland for a little over 35 years. Here, I have been a stay-at-home mother of four, a court-appointed special advocate, principal secretary at one of Portland's inner-city schools. I've been a social worker at the old Columbia Villa and at a community mental health center in East Portland that worked with disenfranchised children and families. I have seen over and over the effects of discrimination, hopelessness, isolation, generational poverty, and disorganized environments that smother a child's opportunities, that diminish the likelihood they will successfully compete for the things you and I take for granted. High school completion, a job, permanent housing, security, trust in the world. Numerous philanthropic foundations, private citizens, and nonprofits pool together in Portland to help children who've not been given a fair shake. We are a generous community, but the Children's Levy is unique, demonstrating that a majority of the public believe that investing in the city's most at-risk children for the common good is the smart thing to do for the children's future and for our cities. I'm honored by this appointment, and I look forward to doing the hard work of investing the taxpayers' money wisely and carefully. Thank you for your confidence in me.
Thank you. Thank you, Julie, for agreeing to serve on the allocation committee. As is our usual tradition, we also recognize former elected officials. Julie's husband, Bill Young, sitting in the back there, is the former mayor of Lake Oswego. So we just want to welcome Bill and Julie. So thank you very much.
All right. We will make comments. Thank you very much. You're welcome to return to your seat.
Thank you.
And anyone signed up to testify, anyone wish to testify? Carla, will you please call the vote?
Fritz. Well, thank you very much for your willingness to serve and also for coming to tell us more about yourself and why this trust that the taxpayers are putting in you and the council is putting in you, why you're ready to fulfill those duties. And that was really helpful to me to know why you care about this, why you want to do it. It is a significant investment of taxpayers' money, and it's also a significant investment in your time. So I greatly appreciate your willingness to serve. I note that you're the executive director of Chess for Success.
No, that's different. Julie Young.
A different. Oh, well, my staff is Googling incorrectly, then I won't bother with that. So anyway, thank you for all of your community involvement. Aye.
Fish.
Julie, thank you for taking on this assignment. The other day I had a chance to visit with my parks employees out at the New Columbia. We did a recognition breakfast to thank people for their service. And I had a block of time that was free, so I went over to Rosa Parks Elementary School, and I met with Principal Tamala Newsom, and then we visited a number of classrooms. And she said something to me then that you said very eloquently today. And you talked about your own life experience. You talked about the importance of having a loving, caring adult in the life of every child. And it doesn't have to be a biological parent. It can be someone else. It can be a mentor. But it needs to be someone. And it's one of the greatest challenges we face with children is too many children don't have that loving, caring adult who's in their corner helping them through childhood. And that's one of the roles that the Children's Investment Fund plays, investing in proven programs which help children when they're at their most vulnerable time transition to adulthood and productive lives. And we know that we have a great champion in Commissioner Saltzman of this work. We also know how time-consuming this assignment is. So thank you for agreeing to take on this important assignment, and you can count on full support from this council. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, thank you very much, Julie, for your remarks and your willingness to serve. And I guess with my vote, it makes it official. You report to work tomorrow. So, aye.
Leonard.
Thank you very much, Julie. Aye.
Adams.
Thank you very much for your willingness to serve. Recognitions to the mayor. Glad you're here. And this is always important, but in declining budgets among a lot of our public partners and declining philanthropy among private partners and fundraising being down at a lot of the nonprofit partnerships, looking through these applications for that kind of strategy and leverage is key. And then I appreciate the involvement that Commissioner Saltzman has made through the Cradle to Career Initiative and willing to partner on that and look forward to you getting you up to speed on that and how that seeks to take his good work and spread it further across the entire spectrum, including increasing our, eventually, hopefully, soon, increasing our high school graduation rate. So Thank you for your willingness to serve. Aye. Congratulations. All right, that gets us to the regular agenda.
Mayor Adams, I need to leave at noon. I note that we have two emergency ordinances, and I don't know if anybody else is going to have to leave.
Let's do the emergency ordinances. Can you please read the title for item number 91?
Appoint James H. Van Dyke as interim city attorney effective February 1, 2012.
He's probably expecting us a little later, but is there anyone who wishes to testify on this matter? Is there any council discussion on this matter? Carla, can you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish. Oh. Saltzman.
Aye.
I had initially, I was hoping Jim would be here to hear this, but I had initially raised some concerns about an interim appointment, and I wanted to make sure that Jim completely understood why I raised the concern. It had nothing to do, certainly, with Jim or his, he's here, I'm going to hold off my, there's Linda.
Okay.
Is Jim following you?
No, I'm sorry.
Is Jim coming?
Jim is on vacation.
Oh, okay. Well, we're voting, so
reconsidering my vote.
we're voting. I didn't just want to do a perfunctory yes vote. I wanted to explain, I can't remember if I did with Linda or not, but certainly with the mayor I did, that I had initially raised concerns about an interim appointment as opposed to a permanent appointment. I wanted to make sure on the record that. That everyone, but especially Jim, understood that it wasn't a concern that I raised about him, but rather the process. I felt, and I will have to be honest, continue to feel that the city attorney's office has been served well under Linda's leadership and her predecessors, many of whom I've worked closely with. And I also am familiar with organizations within the city, and they need leadership. They need to have the continuity and the expectations of whoever it is that is the top of their chain of command. So I felt like, as tough as it would be, and I certainly respect the mayor's reasoning on this, but as tough as it might be on our schedules and times, we needed to and should have gone through a process to select a permanent replacement who could easily have been Jim Van Dyke or any one of a number of other very competent city attorneys that work in our office, but any of whom I'd be pleased to have as our city attorney. So that was the reason I raised the concern, and certainly am very comfortable with Jim fulfilling this role on an interim basis. Aye.
Adams.
Well, this isn't the last time we're going to see you, right?
I'm here around for another week. So.
Another whole week. So we will save the accolades.
We're dropping like flies.
That's right. Short time is all over. Save the accolades. Appreciate Commissioner Leonard's comments, and we looked at a number of different options and finally settled on this. I'm very excited at the prospects of Mr. Van Dyke serving as the interim city attorney. I've worked with him since I got here.
So.
Pretty much. So he will serve us very well, provide for the continuity that I think is very, and stability that I think is very important in the last year of my term, and continue the creative, smart, effective efforts of the Office of City Attorney that has definitely been reinforced and improved upon by the person sitting in front of me. But more about that later. Aye.
I have a brief point of privilege and just read. Jim had left a message, and I apologize for not being down here. You moved things around. I was watching.
Yeah, we did.
Anyway, Jim wanted to say that he regretted he was out of town. He had a long scheduled vacation, and it may be the last one he gets for a while, so yeah. He took it, and he's unable to attend. He said, I'm both humbled and honored to be nominated for the position of interim city attorney. It is the goal of the city attorney's office to provide the city with the best possible legal advice, and we will strive to continue that tradition. Thank you very much for your consideration. And that's from Jim.
I would like to note that I have already seen Jim at community events, and he's following on the tradition that you and others in the city attorney's office have of being part of our community as well as our legal advisors. And so I greatly appreciate your service, and I'm glad to see Jim following in similar style.
Thank you.
Right. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 90? Wait, yes. I've got one that I need to do while you're here, and that is, which one is that? Oh, can you please read 94?
Approve an intergovernmental agreement with Portland Development Commission for the renovation of Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
The reason why I'd like this done now is that I'd like to apply an emergency, amend this to apply an emergency to this. The intergovernmental agreement provides for the $17.1 million in tax increment funding for the renovation of the city's Veterans Memorial Coliseum. In addition, PDC is advancing $5.9 million to cover design and other upfront costs and to make a down payment on the time-critical project scope items, such as the ice floor. This has a lot to do with ice and floors. And ice floors and hockey. The agreement states that the city will not make the deposit on the ice floor without a commitment to the Winter Hawks to continue to use VMC beyond 2013. So even if we decide later not to do any other renovations, we still have to fix the ice floor because it's on its last frost. With that, I will turn it over to Much Mark.
Did you make a motion to?
So, is that right to do now? I move to apply the emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Can you please call the vote on the motion to apply the emergency?
Fritz?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
We're now considering the ordinance as an emergency basis. PDC Chair, thank you for, and Chief Administrative Officer, thanks for your patience and the other presentations and for being here.
Well, thank you. We'll be brief. This is another important step towards the renovation of Veterans Memorial Coliseum. It's basically accepting the money from PDC to complete the city's portion of this project. The last minute twist was the additional $5.9 million, which we're forwarding. I think of it as a construction loan. And it really comes out of some very complex, and this deal turns out to become more complex all the time, but legal issues surrounding our historic tax credits and wanting to make sure that we get full credit for the $17 million. I won't go into the details because I'm not sure I understand them, but we will be, at the end of the day, providing $17.1 million and the $5.9 will come back to us next year as the project moves forward. Jay?
Yes, Jack Graham. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I just want to say that, as I stated before, I think that this is a tremendous investment for the city. We have an asset that needs an investment of this type in it. This investment by private dollars and dollars from PDC will ensure that this major city asset is going to be around for many, many more years. I'm encouraged. I've been sitting at the table at a majority of all these meetings. The parties are working very well together. The goal is to have an ordinance in front of you, the RDA in front of you, by the end of February for your approval. We are working with the Portland Winterhawks to get them to we're in discussion with them to get them to sign this RDA prior to coming to you that would bind them to this agreement. And so I'm encouraged. I feel that we're on the right track, and this is the right thing to do for this city asset. Thank you.
Questions from council?
I have a couple questions.
Go ahead.
First of all, when you say RDA, is that like a development?
Redevelopment agreement. It's a redevelopment agreement for the...
Redevelopment.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the total budget now for the renovation of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum?
It's approximately 31, I think 31 million or 30, 31 million in that area. I don't have the exact number in front of me.
Hasn't changed.
Hasn't changed.
And so the Winterhawks are...
$10 million.
$10 million, but we don't have that in writing yet.
When they came in front of council before, they showed their commitment through the term sheet that they were willing to move forward with that pending the final work done on the redevelopment agreement. And the meetings that I've been at the table with them have seen no wavering of their commitment to the project, and they've been working diligently for us to get this RDA together. I mean, they've been at the table, so I don't see any issues at this point in time at all.
So by the time we get the redevelopment agreement, we will have spilled out their
redevelopment agreement will include that commitment to them. Yes, yeah. It's sort of chicken and eggy. They're not going to commit until they know exactly what the project is, and that's what the redevelopment agreement is all about.
So we're not expending any money prior to the redevelopment agreement. Is that correct?
Well, we've expended money on attorneys and staff time. And,
but I mean
yes,
on,
not in
on,
terms
on,
of
I mean on actually the renovation or the, yep. or like the new ice or whatever. Yep.
We have not done that at this point in time. The timing of it is that under the intergovernment agreement between the city and also PDC, it will advance monies for us to move forward with a down payment on the ice floor. The timing is critical for us to move forward with that. However, I do strongly believe that by the end of February, we will have the RDA completed. The ice floor does not have to be ordered until March 1st, March 15th. So I'm pretty confident that we're going to have this redevelopment agreement completed, that the Winterhawks will execute it on their part, which will be binding. We are in discussions with them on that, but I'm pretty confident in, that the parties will work it out.
And do you, Scott, share that confidence in terms of the timing that by the end of February?
We yes. have a I mean, everybody recognizes that this thing has been pushed off for very good reasons, but we're to the point where if we're going to get this project off the ground this summer and they've blocked out the time in terms of the events being scheduled and it's in the gap that the Winterhawks don't use it, that we have to have it in front of you by the end of February.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anyone wish to testify on this matter? Carla, can you please call the vote on the amended ordinance to reflect
we
it as
an emergency
status?
Excuse me.
All right.
Fritz.
Well, thank you for your diligent work on this. I continue to be very excited about the work that we're planning for the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. This work on the ice hockey floor is excellent. I hope it doesn't jinx our record-breaking 18 winning streak that on the current floor, but I appreciate the briefing that I got about the need for the restoring of the floor and how long it takes to cure the concrete and all of those details that you have to consider in looking at when can we look at the grand reopening. So thank you for your diligence. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, as you may recall, when the original proposal was brought forward, it was about $54 million, and I voted no because that was just too much money. So I want to give a lot of credit to PDC and Office of Management and Finance, the Winterhawks, and everybody to bringing this cost down to $31, $32 million. Definitely much more in the range, and in addition, a commitment by the Winterhawks to contribute 10 of that $31 million. So it's looking good, and you know, I definitely want to see the RDA before we get too far down the road, see it before us and be approved. And I also hope, I didn't ask a question about this, but I do hope this renovation will be done consistent with the city and PDC's green building standards. I'll take it on faith that will be done.
With your help.
Okay, so I assume that means my aye vote. I vote aye. Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Adams.
A Zamboni alone does not keep the ice on the rink for hockey games. I have learned that.
Can you say that in public?
Yes. I have learned what a Zamboni is. More than I ever thought I would. It just gives me an opportunity for a quick, our new chief administrative officer is just doing a fantastic job. You know, I've been able to see him at work on this very fast-paced, very complex project. The complexity and the speed are in total service to the taxpayers of the city, so appreciate, and to the project goals, appreciate that. And again, we are amazingly well-served by a fantastic chair of the Portland Development Commission, who brings, especially in this case, actual hands-on, real-life expertise far beyond my experience or ability, and so I want to thank you for devoting basically full-time plus to a volunteer job, and I want to thank you both for your good work here. On to ice on the floor. Aye. All right, and then we have
92.
Hell hath no fury than 11,000 hockey fans. Pissed off. Can you please read emergency ordinance number 92?
Amend
have sticks.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can't say that in public.
Oh, really? Sorry.
Amend River District right-of-way standards to include new standards for Northwest Pettigrove Street.
Hi, welcome. What are we looking at here? We have a number of folks who have to leave, so yeah. Distillation and brevity are always treasured, especially today.
All right, so we do have a very brief presentation, but if you don't mind, we'll try to skip through this, some of the slides that I think may not be as critical. So amend River District right-of-way standards to include new standards for Northwest Pettigrove. So we just wanted to provide a little bit of background. First of all, what is the River District right-of-way standards? It just guides, it's a document, you can see it, the front cover. It guides development and how streets should look like and function in the River District, which includes Old Town and the Pearl District. Most of the improvements happen with the redevelopment. So the idea is to anticipate development with a new special function character for Pettigrove. And development is actually taking place right now, which is why we wanted this to be an emergency. So in a nutshell, there are typical streets and special function streets. Some of the special function streets have become signature streets in the Pearl District, such as 13th Avenue, 10th with the streetcar, and also a boardwalk, just to give you a few examples, the Chinatown streets in Old Town. So we want, basically the idea was to make Pettigrove one of those special streets, a green street in particularly. And the three planning documents have called Pettigrove to be a green street, Northwest District Plan, North of Lovejoy Project, and the North Pearl District Plan, which is the latest. And Green Street has expanded to include just more than pedestrian and bicycle accessibility, but also stormwater, as you well know. So the grand vision is to provide a pedestrian, bicycle-friendly, and green, with green features, connection between Wallace Park and the fields. And both neighborhoods support that vision. We're working on the Pearl District side of it. So here's the North Pearl District Action District Plan, Action Item T6, which actually calls for what we're doing here today, to amend the street standard to create a green street. Here's what the concept design framework for the plan, which pretty much calls for kind of residential area surrounding Pettigrove. Here's what it is today. It's most likely to change. It's changing right now. The Ramona to one block to the north has been developed, and it's happening. There's a development happening right now between 14th and 15th, south of Pettigrove, south of where you can read Pettigrove, and that's happening right now. There's a need for potentially two sidewalks right now, and potentially a third. There's an application coming for, I don't know if you can move for this property as well. So that's the need to anticipate development with this amendment. So this is what it looks like today, and again, it's likely to change. This is a zone in central employment. It's so expected to be high density mixed use. It's also a bikeway recommended in the Portland Bicycle Plan for 2030, and it is a local service traffic street. So we're not expecting buses or large trucks or anything like that, other than emergency vehicles and service vehicles. So we met four times with adjacent property owners. We had a group, representatives from the neighborhood on both sides, and other stakeholders, and we developed a set of goals and big ideas. Some of them included the need to have a large canopy to differentiate the streets in the Pearl from a typical street, capture the stormwater, all of it, not just the sidewalk component, be an inviting street for pets and bicyclists, keep it open to motor vehicles. That's a two-way street. Have a flexible design. That's another big idea that developed. And be different, special from a typical street, as I mentioned, and have a more organic park-like feel and provide opportunities for sitting down and contemplation. So that's the very basic. And This is what would be without the change, 12 to 13 foot sidewalks with trees called columnar trees. What we're proposing is actually a set of three choices, three standards from which developers can choose one, depending on what they prefer. And they all work with one another. You can have a mix and match, if you will. Here's option A, which actually provides four on-street parking spaces and large canopy trees. That's what the standard looks like. This is what it would look like with new trees and full build-out. You can see the swales, you can see the large trees, and you can see the accommodation of parking and other features. The option B would be instead of four spaces, three spaces. And again, with the large canopy trees and swales and other amenities. And C is an option that has no parking. It's all about 19 feet straight of sidewalk with ample opportunity for swales and landscaping and large canopy trees, and that will look like that. And that's what it will look like as a cross section. And here's a combination. Most likely we may get a combination. Some property owner in the north may choose option A in this case, and the person across the street may choose option C, and that's what it will look like, and they all are compatible with one another. And that's what it will look like as a cross-section. And again, as a performance criteria, it's basically between, we're recommending 13 to 19 feet wide sidewalks, large canopy trees, 2 to 4 benches, bicycle parking, special street lights, you can see it there, a Lumic Z15, I believe, stormwater facilities. And then, so in summary, it creates a new signature street for the Pearl District, in the North Pearl particularly, implements a long-held vision for the street, which began in 2003, addresses stormwater management needs, and we've been working with BES on this very closely, enhances the environment for pedestrians and cyclists, and offers design flexibility to adjacent property owners. That is as fast as I could go.
That was great.
Okay.
Questions from council. Comments from council. Has anyone signed up to testify? Oh, well, please come up. Would you like to say anything more? Okay. Come on up.
Okay.
Our friends are back.
Patricia Gardner, I'm here on behalf of the Pearl District Neighborhood Association. And I just very briefly want to tell you that this is not just the Pearl. This is also Northwest District. They've been working on this as hard as we have for the last 7 years. And you have to understand, we look at it one way, they look at it in a different way. They look at it as an important connection for Northwest to the future Fields Park, which starts construction in March, and ultimately to the Willamette River. We look at it as an important connection to our local elementary school, which is Chapman, and to Wallace Park, and ultimately to the West Hills. So it's going both directions there. And so we're just the start. And they've got their vision, and we've worked very hard to make it work together. So today's a culmination, and we're inspired by some precedents that we have in our neighborhood, which, of course, is the Sliver Park right next to the Armory, which has created a really wonderful space in a sea of urbanity. And we have a lot of people who are going to be moving here, 11,000 north of Lovejoy. We kind of need those little hints of a break. And we really need a safe route and to school. I can't, the number of parents who have come up and just said, please, a place I can take my kids, I can walk them, I can take my bicycle and I don't have to worry about it. That is such a driver for us that you need to understand that. And I just want to say, we have worked very diligently with all of the property owners, to really come up with something that worked for everybody. And we've been supported tremendously by the excellent staff at the Bureau of Transportation. They've just done a wonderful job. And what's great about this plan is it really leverages private investment. By getting this done today, we're going to be able to, it doesn't cost the city anything, but what we get back as a city is more than it can possibly be done. And so it's just that opportunity to create a place with that connection between both public and private is really huge. And so that's why we've been pushing so hard to get it before you today. So please, please, please just vote for it. We would love it. Thank you.
How's our Jamison Square, Lou?
It's doing? Wonderful.
Is it doing good?
It's a complete success. It really is a complete success. And I will off record tell you what some people who were against it have said to me in.
Patty was one of the main drivers of forgiveness, so thank you for.
Patty, please don't enable this behavior. We have to live with the consequences.
It's really true. You are that enables me.
No, I think I think it's so great. I'm a customer. I use it.
Yeah.
A lot of people are customers.
Cool. That's great. Perfect.
My name is Melanie Lane, and I represent the ownership of 12th and Pettigrove LLC. And although we are not included in the ones who are currently doing development, we were brought in as a stakeholder to